This past week, our nation grieved the death of President Bush. Over the past few days, we've heard a lot of stories about his life, about his family, about his service, about his leadership. We've heard he was a man of rare humility, of real wisdom, who demonstrated both strength and compassion as needed. What you may not have heard is what made him the kind of man that he became. It's well known that during the Second World War, George Bush was a bomber pilot. I'm sure you've heard that story repeated a number of times, and you've also understood that his plane was shot down in the middle of a bombing run over a Japanese-held island. Maybe you even heard the story about how American fighter pilots kept some of the Japanese boats at bay while an American ship tried to find its way to rescue him. 4 hours in a life raft, and finally a submarine comes up from underneath him and rescues him. And for 30 days, he spent time as a guest on that submarine. 20 years old, 30 days on a submarine with nothing to do. Several years ago, he revealed how he spent that time. He said, "During that time, after I had been spared and I had been rescued, and I was safe on that ship, I kept asking the question, why have I been spared? What does God have in store for me?" He said he never got that audible answer that said, "Here's what I'm doing." But he said, "I have realized over the years from that time when my life was spared that every day and every decision was a response to what God had revealed to me all along the way. I have spent my life listening to hear what God is saying." There are times when God speaks clearly to the hearts of people like you and me. And when you hear Him, it changes everything. John declared in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. The passage in Colossians that we read together a moment ago says, "We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. You heard the word of the truth of the gospel. You heard and knew the grace of God in truth." In other words, what you hear from God changes everything. There's nothing more important in all of our lives than to hear what God is saying. The story of the birth of Jesus is filled with truth that people needed to hear if they were going to understand. And so this morning, as we begin our journey on toward Christmas, I want you to listen to the story of what three particular people heard God say, so they could understand what the Lord was saying to them, because what the Lord was saying to them is also something the Lord is saying to you this morning. So let's listen to what God said to those who were present when Christ was coming. The first message was given to Zacharias. The angel came to him while he was serving in the temple. One moment, Zacharias is lighting incense in the holy place. The next moment, he is face to face with an angel, a majestic being who had come from the presence of the Lord. You know, one of the things we're going to discover is people hear from angels all the time. And when you hear from angels, you don't hear from those little beings that wear robes and wings and float around and tweet at people. No, when you encounter God, you know, when you encounter an angel, you know you're having an encounter with God. It is the most life-changing, most frightening, most serious thing that will ever happen to you. Why am I saying that? Because I want you to know this. When you hear from God, it is never a superficial thing. When you hear from God, it will never be as though a voice from heaven says, "Oh, by the way, I want you to know there's a parking place about 10 spots further closer if you'll just move on toward the mall." He will never say to you, "Oh, by the way, you know, today I think I'm going to do something really special for you, and you'll just know how much I like you." When you hear from God, it is a serious, life-changing encounter. When people hear God speak, it changes everything. And I want you to know that, because when Zechariah encountered the angel in the temple, It frightened him to death. Why? Because he knew he was in the presence of God. And God had a message just for him. The angel brought this word from the Lord to the priest. He said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." It was the most incredible thing Zacharias would hear for a lifetime. What was it that God had promised? That he and Elizabeth were going to have a son. That incredibly, this son would have a special place in God's plan. The Lord would use him to prepare the way for a coming Savior. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth and turn the hearts of men to the Lord. It was that last statement that was the most incredible thing of all. You see, to really understand what a powerful thing it was that the angel was saying, you have to understand that the last time God had spoken to his people had been through the prophet Malachi. 400 years before, a prophecy that is in the final book of the Old Testament. In the final words of the final chapter of Malachi, there's a promise about one who's going to be sent to prepare the coming of the Messiah. And here's what it says at the end of the Old Testament. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers." And with those words, God was silent for 400 years. 10 generations came and went, no word from the Lord. People began to wonder, has God forgotten us? Would his word ever be fulfilled? Maybe he had turned away from his people. Maybe he had decided we didn't deserve a word from the Lord. How can God be silent year after year, decade after decade, century after century? It was with the proclamation to Zacharias that God broke his silence. The messenger would be born. The Savior was coming. And what would Zacharias' son do? He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. What am I saying? When he heard the angel speak in the temple, he understood God had just taken up where he had left off 400 years. It was as though it were the next sentence in God's proclamation. And this was the message. God always keeps his promises. The messenger would be born. The Savior was coming. What would his son do? He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. What am I saying? God always keeps his promise. God said 400 years ago, here's what I'm going to do. And then he spoke in the temple and he said, I still have that same intention. I am sending someone before. He's coming in the spirit of Elijah. He's going to be your son. His name will be John. And he's preparing the way for the one I have promised. Because I always keep my promises. The same promise is there for you and me. God keeps every promise. When God speaks to you through his word, when God speaks to you through his Holy Spirit, when God speaks to you and he sends his promise will always be fulfilled. It may not be in the way you expected. It may not happen when you thought it would. You may even have to be patient for a long time. But the Lord is everlastingly faithful. Maybe this is a Christmas when things are difficult in your life. It may be this is the first Christmas after you've lost someone you loved. It may be this past year you've experienced some real setbacks, personally, in your health, professionally. Things have just not gone the way you thought they would go this year. The truth is, it may be that joy to the world doesn't feel very real to you this year. I have a word for you. It comes from the Lord. God has not forgotten, and He will keep His promises. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what's happening in your life. And He cares. He cares deeply. He hasn't gone anywhere. You can still trust His promise. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Hear this word for you this year. God always, always shows His faithfulness. Always in a crowd this size, there is someone who is facing Christmas, and there's a sense of a little bit of disappointment or disillusionment, or you're wondering, where is God and what God's doing? What is God doing? Understand this. He's there. He cares about you. He has a perfect plan. And He will not fail you. God always keeps His promises. The second message came to Mary. It was an announcement that changed the world. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of the Highest. Mary was the one who heard the greatest promise in the history of all creation. Mary discovered she had been chosen to be the virgin mother of the Son of God. Incredible. Not only was her life changed forever, the world was changed forever, history was changed forever, hope was changed forever, and it all came from that promise that she heard so long ago. But here's the question. Why Mary? Out of all the women in the world, what made her special enough to bear the Son of God? Some people have concluded that there was something supernatural about Mary herself that made her deserving of this honor. In fact, a lot of people do not realize that when you talk about the Immaculate Conception, it really doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with Mary. This is a doctrine, a teaching that says before the birth of Christ, Mary herself lived a sinless life, perfect in every way, so that she would be a worthy vessel for the coming of God. The Immaculate Conception. There's only one problem with that doctrine, and it is that it's nowhere in the Bible. It's not what Scripture teaches. Instead, the Bible says Mary became the mother of Jesus for two reasons. The first reason is because God had chosen her for this special role. One of the things that I think is amazing to me in this pronouncement that the angel makes to Mary is he doesn't explain anything. He doesn't say, this is why God's chosen you. He doesn't say, God sat down and He looked at all of the women in the world and He compared each one against another and He decided who was the best, most worthy person to be born. All He says is, God has chosen you. God has chosen you to be the mother of His Son. Why did God do that? Because that's what God chose to do. And that's the way God operates. He does what He chooses to do. The only way I've ever had to explain how in the world I ended up in ministry is to say that one day God decided to prove he could use anybody. And there I stood. Because God does what God chooses to do. There's a second reason, and it is this. And she was willing to be used. She said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." In other words, she said, if this is what the Lord wants to do with my life, if this is how God wants to act through me, here I am. God, do whatever you want to do. I wonder what would have happened if Mary had said to the angel Gabriel, "No, I've got my own plans. I've already got my future planned. I've got a man in my life. I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I don't want to be part of what you're up to. Find somebody else." We'll never know, because that is not how she responded. This young lady who had a lifetime ahead, who already had planned her marriage, who thought she knew exactly what the future held and exactly where it was going to take place there in Nazareth, when God intervened in her life, she simply said, "Here I am, God. Do whatever you want to do." God had a message for Mary, and that message was a very simple one. God has a plan. God has a plan. He had an incredible plan for her life. He revealed it to her at the fullness of time. She would be the mother of God's son. God had a plan for what he was going to do through this young woman. And the Lord also has a plan for your life. And his plan for you is nothing like his plan for her. She would be the one and only mother of the Messiah. It had never happened before. It would never happen again. God had a unique plan for this young village woman. But God has an equally personal plan for your life. Things he wants to do through you. Lives he wants to touch through you. Ways that he wants to work in your life. And if you're going to experience God's plan for your life, you have to submit to his leadership. Lord, do what you want to with me. He won't force you to follow his plan. The truth is, you can spend a lifetime rejecting his plan. You can make the decision to resist the Lord and do things your own way for the rest of your life. But until you're ready to say, "Let it be to me according to your word," you're always going to be searching. You're always going to be anxious. You're always going to be resisting. You're always going to be pushing away. I have always said this: when God reveals his plan to you, when he begins to speak into your life and he begins to talk to you about what he wants to do and how he wants you to serve him next, and you begin to resist him and push back and say, "God, this doesn't fit my timetable, this doesn't fit my plan, this doesn't fit my blueprint," you can resist and resist and resist, but it's going to be kind of like taking a rubber ball and trying to hold it under the surface of a swimming pool. You can hold it down and hold it down and hold it down, but sooner or later, it's coming back. And God's going to continue to speak. How much easier is it for us to decide from the very beginning, "Lord, here I am. Here I am. Take me, use me, bless me, guide me. I surrender. Let it be to me according to your word." God has a plan. And then God spoke to one other person, and that was Joseph. And Joseph had to hear from the Lord as well. The angel came to him in a season of his greatest struggle. You can imagine what was going on in Joseph's mind and in his heart and in his life as he began to struggle through and try to understand what God was saying. He couldn't figure out what's going on here. It was almost impossible to believe it is true. He had never been so troubled. He was trying to find the kindest, least public way to break things off between himself and Mary, because he just could not believe what he had been told. It was then that an angel came to him as he slept with a message from God Almighty. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Understand something about Joseph. And when he woke up, he didn't understand any more than he had when he went to sleep. God had not answered every question or explained every part of the situation. You know what Joseph did know? He knew what God had told him to do, and he acted on what he knew. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. God taught Joseph a powerful lesson. You can trust the Lord. You can trust him, even if you don't understand it all. Even if you can't explain everything, it is enough to know he is absolutely trustworthy. And of everyone in your life, and everyone you have an encounter with, there's only one who is completely trustworthy, and he is the Lord. You may be here today and you know you need Jesus. You may have experienced him calling you to be saved. You may have watched as Joe was following the Lord and through the waters of baptism today and thought, that needs to be me. I've known it for a long time. I have fought it. I have resisted it. I have tried my best to push it away. But I know I need to be saved. You may not be able to explain everything it means to be a believer. You may think you have to have everything nailed down before you can call yourself a Christian. You may think, I've got to deal with everything wrong in my life and then I'll come to Jesus. I've got to understand every step of what it means to follow him and then I'll do it. But you know, when Jesus walks by people and he says, follow me, all he really means is, follow me. I'll explain the rest of it as we go. Let me tell you something this morning. You can trust the Lord. It begins by coming in simple faith. The answers come as he keeps revealing himself in his word and through his spirit. But it all begins with a simple commitment. I will trust him and I will act on what I've been told. I will trust him and I will act. Lord Jesus, I trust you to forgive my sins. I trust you to give me eternal life. I trust you to live in me. I trust you to reveal yourself to me. I trust you as I walk with you and follow you and commit myself to you. Lord, I trust you. So here's my question. So will you trust the Lord today? Will you trust him? If you're here and you're not a believer, will you trust him? In a moment when we sing our invitation hymn, you can come forward. I'll be here. Rich will be here. We will be glad to meet you right here in these pews and talk to you about how you can give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here as a believer, but you feel that same call that Joe talked about a little while ago. This is a church that I want to plant my life in. And I need to put my membership here. And I need to know this is where I'm going to listen to the Lord. This is where I'm going to follow the Lord. And this is where I'm going to serve the Lord. And this is where I'm going to let God's people bless me. I want to be a part of what God is doing at First Baptist Church. Or maybe you're here as a believer. But when you look down inside, you begin to say to yourself, you know, I haven't been trusting God. Been afraid of His plan. Haven't been willing to listen to the fact that He keeps His promises. But today I'm simply going to say to the Lord, whatever you want to do, here I am. Is there a decision you need to make today? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. As God speaks to you, you come. You come. Let's stand together.